Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Couldn't help but be amazed at the readings we've had this morning, at the sense of who God really is. And surely when we come together as we are this morning, it's a time to reflect upon who he is and who we are in relationship to him. The readings this morning really contain excerpts of the power of God, so evident and so present among his people. I lived 34 years in the church without any awareness of that real power of God. Perhaps I saw him at work on the farm, in the farm days, but I really wasn't aware that he was a God of such power and awesome glory. And so to be able to come into the Lord's presence, to give glory to his name as we are this morning, we're humbled because he is the God of this world, the one who created and made all things, and there is no one like him. So how blessed we are to know him, even in small part, as to who he is. This morning I want to share, particularly on the readings that we've had, and trust that our mighty God will continue to be with us. So let's pray. Father, it truly is a humbling experience to come into your presence. And what a blessing, Lord God, that we can know you, even in small part. The God of this world, the God of this universe, the creator and maker of all things, the one who's destined for us to be on this earth, each one of us. And Father, you have a destiny, you have a purpose for each one. Primarily, Lord, it is to know you, to love you, and to enjoy you forever. And so how blessed we are, Lord, that we can call ourselves the children of God. And so I pray this morning, Father, with the words that I've prepared, Lord God, that you would speak to us, for primarily they're your words, Lord. And I'm sharing those back to you in front of this congregation today. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would have total control, total oversight of this message and of this time we're sharing together. And I do pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What do we make of the statement by John from Mark's Gospel today? I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Obviously, the he mentioned, and John made mention of, was Jesus. So what does it mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Although we may be saved, that is, we have accepted Jesus as our Saviour and Lord, we may not realise that the Holy Spirit came to live us in us at that very moment. Some of you have heard the term, many of you have heard the term born again, of course. And it refers to that time when we become aware of just who God is. And sometimes it's with great power and presence, other times it may not be so. We come to a place whereby we know that we know that we know that God is God, and it brings a change into our lives. But even if we have heard that truth, we may not understand who the Spirit is or why his indwelling presence is so important to us. God's word tells us everything we need to know about this amazing gift sent to us from our Heavenly Father to enable us to become and do what he wants for us. We are reminded that the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it or a thing, but he is a person, he is real. He's not just a power or a force, and that is vital for us to understand. In the first reading from Genesis this morning, we're told that God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. And then we're told later, when God created mankind, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. All three persons, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, were involved together in the creation, and as human beings, you and I bear that image of the Trinity. In Old Testament days, God's Spirit would come upon people in order for them to be able to do God's purposes, but he would also leave them. He would come upon them, but he would also leave them. But the night before Jesus was crucified, he promised to ask the Father to send Holy Spirit as a helper to his disciples, the Spirit of truth, who would not just be on them, but be in them forever. A vast difference. And in the words of Jesus, he said, "I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So he's suggesting that these disciples knew who he was and who the Holy Spirit was, because they were in the presence of Jesus. But even though Jesus would no longer be physically with his disciples, he wasn't going to leave them to look out for themselves, but Jesus promised to come to them by the presence of the Holy Spirit, not only to be with them, but now to be in them. Why did the Father send Holy Spirit? You will remember that before he left the earth, Jesus gave his disciples the task of sharing and proclaiming repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. Jesus told them to stay in Jerusalem and that he would send Holy Spirit to clothe them with power to help them do the task. And in Luke 24, we read, "Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in Jerusalem until you are given power from on high." And then in Acts 1:5, Jesus said to his disciples, "For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." The very words that we had in the gospel this morning. You will remember the words of Jesus came to pass on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit was poured out and over 3,000 were added as believers on that day. Acts 2, to remind you, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When has the Holy Spirit come to us? Today, when we accept Jesus, Holy Spirit comes to live in us and bring assurance to us that we are truly God's children. And Paul in Ephesians reminds us, he says, "In him you also trusted, after you heard of the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." The seal Paul speaks of is God's authority for us to be his children, with our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, sealed with him forever with the assurance of eternal life, a guarantee for us, an extraordinary place for us to be. Once we have Holy Spirit, we will then go on to grow the fruit of the Spirit within us for the glory of God. And none of us can grow this fruit unless the Holy Spirit enables us. Although the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us at the time of our commitment to Jesus, his work takes a lifetime. And you may have realised that Christian living is not suddenly arrived and done. It's a whole of life venture. It's a journey that each one of us are on. And we need God's empowering and enabling to be able to live that life. God's job is to enable us to do everything he desires and to transform us into the people he wants us to be. With Holy Spirit as our constant helper, reminding us each day that we are in Christ, it means we don't have to struggle through life in our own strength. We will encounter difficulties, some of you may have done. We will have misunderstandings, some of you may have encountered those. And perhaps conflict, now and then that arises, even in the church. But through them all, he guards our way and gives us his wisdom. And when we sin, he convicts us so that we can confess and receive his forgiveness. So we're always able to be in line with what he wants from us. For he's provided for us all that we need. Holy Spirit is our source of power. And certainly you realise, as a Christian, it does take consistency to be the person God wants us to be. And we need God's power to do that. When Jesus sent the disciples out to preach the gospel, they had no power to do so. And that's why he said they were to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And we know, in fact, as we've read in the gospel reading this morning, when Jesus was baptized, he was anointed by the Holy Spirit himself. He didn't need to be. He was God and Lord of all. But he did so as an example for us, that you and I need that empowering to be able to live the life that he's called us to live. The only way we can live as God's people is through Holy Spirit as our source of power and strength. The power of Holy Spirit is God's divine ability and authority in a believer's lives to enable godly living and service for God. When we walk in the Spirit, we are relying on God's strength and ability to be what he wants us to be and to do what he calls us to do. When we do God's work in his strength, in his way, and with his wisdom, we will be blessed no matter what happens around us. Walking in the Spirit doesn't always make life easy. But we will never have to walk it alone because he promises to be with us forever. So what does it mean then to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Although we are sealed and indwelt by the Holy Spirit when we first become Christians, it's not the same as being filled. To be filled with the Spirit means that we have surrendered every part of our lives to him, allowing him to be in charge of us. This may be our greatest obstacle because most of us are used to being in control of our own lives. Although we may be indwelt by him, the process of being filled with him goes on day by day as we surrender ourselves more and more to his guidance and direction. Our biggest problem is independence. Paul tells us we need to go on being filled day by day. He said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. He suggests that we need to be filled over and over again in order to be able to be who God wants us to be. To be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by him. And it's vital if we desire to be God's children. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be empowered by him and him alone. How can we be filled? First and primarily, and we've done it already today, we need to confess our sin. We need to be in the right place with him. Yield ourselves to God, and this is a conscious decision day by day, moment by moment. We live moment by moment in God. And Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 32, really explains it very clearly for us. Because he talks about putting off the old man and putting on the new man and what that entails, what that means. We come from the old into the new. But again, it's only a conscious thing as we determine to do it in the power and strength of God. And he says we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit by whom we are sealed. Rather, he says we are to let all bitterness, wrath, anger, arguing and evil speaking to be put away from us and to be kind to one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. And Paul in Galatians 5 speaks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They're all the fruit of the Spirit that we should be exhibiting and showing as God's people. Paul says those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, we should also walk in the Spirit. So what does all of this mean for us today? You will have heard the statement, let go and let God. If you're here today and have committed your heart and life to Jesus as your Saviour, then from what the Scriptures tell us, you are a Christian indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Those of you who read Every Day with Jesus will have read more recently. So when Hughes says, when I first came to the Lord, I was told that I had been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, but now I needed to be empowered by him. You can see the distinction. Perhaps you've had a similar experience. You know that you're a Christian through the assurance of Holy Spirit, but you've never had the experience of being empowered by him to be all he wants you to be. And so some questions. Do you know that you have Holy Spirit living in you? What role is Holy Spirit playing in your life? Are you surrendered to him? If not, then what do you think may need to be changed in order for that to be different? Are you living your Christian life in your own strength? Or are you dependent upon God by his Holy Spirit? Scripture tells us that at times the Holy Spirit fell spontaneously upon people, and other times he came upon them after prayer. And we heard that this morning in Acts 19. It relates one of those times. Paul baptized some believers and then laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them in great power, causing them to speak in tongues and prophesy. Tongues has had a very bad reference over the years. It's divided people, it's divided churches. But very clearly, the evidence seems to be that it's one of those things that identifies people who are baptized in the Spirit. And it's something that God does, so we don't often have control over what that might be. But because we don't understand, perhaps at times, we are reluctant to think it could happen to us. I think what is clear from what I've been sharing this morning is that if we're going to be successful as Christians, then it's only by the power of God's Holy Spirit that we can be so. If we want to be useful for God in his kingdom, then it's only through Holy Spirit's empowering and enabling that that's possible. And it seems that we need such an experience of his power to convince us. And I'm reminded that Jesus made this statement in John 15. Remain in me and I remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful apart from me. Yes, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. My true disciples produce much fruit, and this brings great glory to my Father. You and I are to be great fruit bearers for God, and we can only be so if we stay tuned to him. Holy Spirit promises not only to be with us but in us to enable us to be these people. However, it's not automatic. God will not work apart from our desire for him to guide us and use us. And it does call for complete surrender of our hearts and lives to him. So I guess what it essentially means is, where are our hearts intended? Where are our hearts connected? And the question is, are we willing to offer ourselves entirely and fully to God in the matter that he calls us to? Scripture teaches that we can ask for Holy Spirit to come. And Jesus said in Luke 11, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So it seems very clear to me that God's plan is for us to be his children, set apart for him and his purposes here in this his kingdom on earth, and that he has gifted us with Holy Spirit to enable us to be who he wants us to be. Essentially, that's what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus, someone who loves him and wants to follow his way of life. I believe all of us here today have a desire to be such people. And so I'd like to ask God to send his Holy Spirit upon us again this morning, to come and to fill us again so that we can be enabled in the manner that he desires we be, empowered by him to be the people he wants us to be. And so I propose to take a moment or two to allow God to do that. So I ask maybe if you close your eyes for the next moment or two as we pray. Father, we know that we are dependent upon you, reliant upon you. And you've gifted us, Father. You've gifted us with the gift of your Holy Spirit to enable us to be the people you call us to be. So it's not dependent upon us, but it's dependent upon you in us. And so, Father, as I stand before brothers and sisters this morning, I believe each of us has a great desire to be the people that call us to be. And so I pray, Father, right now, that you would send Holy Spirit upon us once again. And Lord, as we release ourselves to you, so I pray that you may come and fill us afresh today. I pray your anointing, Father, upon this congregation right now, that you would fall in your power and presence upon us, Lord, afresh this morning. And so I pray, come, Holy Spirit, anoint, touch, fill us with your presence, I pray. Overflow us, Lord God, with your love. We are reminded that you loved the world so much that you gave your only Son. You called us to be your people, and you've enabled us, Lord, and empowered us by the gift of your Spirit. So I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would have your way in us, with us, and through us here this morning. That you would touch hearts and lives, Lord, as you've never done before. Just want to invite you, if your heart's fully for the Lord this morning and your desire is that he may fill you again, perhaps for the first time, that you're willing to surrender everything to him. If that's your heart, then I invite you to stand right now. As an indication of your willingness to allow him to have his way in your life. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come in your great anointing right now on all of those standing before you, Lord God, that you would fill and overflow with your loving presence. Grant power, Father, that we all need to to be your disciples. Fall upon us, Lord, I pray. Pray that you bring healing, you bring wholeness, you bring joy, bring strength. Pour out your love, I pray. Touch and fill every single one, Lord, I pray. With all the fullness that is you. And may it be to the glory of your name. Bless you, Lord. How wonderful to stand in your presence, Lord, to be in your presence here this morning. To know you say where two or three gather in your name that you are there. And so again, Father, I pray that you would manifest your wonderful presence among us. Continue to do so, Lord, in the remainder of our time together this morning. That we would know without any hesitation or doubt that you are indeed the Lord. And that you love us with a love that is beyond our comprehension. There is no one like you. We bless your name. We bless you, Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And once again, we commit ourselves totally, fully to you, Lord, and your will and purpose in our lives. And we thank you for the joy it is to be your children. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.